FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. And hey, the buzz has been out there. Every major automotive manufacturer, automobile manufacturer in the world is now focusing most of their energies on producing EVs or electric vehicles. And this truly marks a revolution in personal transportation, in resources, and perhaps in the evolution of the post-industrial society. You look, there are countries that are banning the internal combustion engine and from going from 2025 to 2040. China's at the forefront of it. California wants to do the same. Probably the U.S. will follow. This is what we're going to see. So been trying to bring you high-ranked people, CEOs, and management in resource stocks, and now we're concentrating on lithium. I have Jeremy Poirier with us, and Jeremy, you're president of Baring Lithium. You're a veteran of the lithium wars. You've been doing it for 8 years, which makes you a senior citizen in this industry. Hey, and by the way, if you want to find out more about the company, it's baringlithium.com, B-E-A-R-I-N-G, lithium.com. The ticker symbol on the TSX Venture is BRZ. And Jeremy, thanks so much for being a sponsor and coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so lithium, interesting mineral, high energy storage potential. What do you see the global market for lithium doing now over the next 10, 15 years and even the next few years?
Well, obviously, there's different forecasts. You know, the different banks all have different numbers, from Goldman Sachs to Merrill Lynch to Credit Suisse and so on. But, you know, we've seen as high as a million tons. That's probably the highest projection I've seen. And then we've seen projections as low as 400,000 or 500,000 tons and then everything in between. Right now, the lithium market's about 250,000 tons. So, you know, it's widely agreed that, you know, it is increasing and will continue to increase and that we need more production. And that's why you've seen a flood of lithium companies enter the marketplace and why you've seen a lot of large major companies try and enter the space. And I think you'll continue to see that over the next, you know, 6 to 24 months.
So obviously the big driver in demand is going to be for transportation, for electric vehicles, but the other demands for lithium are really expanding exponentially as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people don't talk as much about. You know, the electric cars and the banning of combustion engine, those are, you know, making headlines and they're easy to talk about and they're topical, and you see the Teslas and BMW and Volkswagen come out with announcements. But the reality is that, you know, we're using more cell phones. We want our cell phones to last longer when we go out. We're all buying more iPads, more computers, more laptops. And what does everyone want? Everybody wants a longer battery life, and that requires more lithium. Power tools are the same way. I mean, when I go, I was just working on the weekend on a renovation, and you know, all of the drills now and the saws that you're using, they're all coming in electric. You know, they're no longer plug in to the wall. Obviously they plug in to charge, but all of the major spaces that that require lithium are growing, that involve batteries. And even the ones that are you know, that are some of the traditional uses of lithium, like ceramics, glass, tile, those are also growing at a GDP rate, you know, anywhere from a 1 to 3%. And then the one that people aren't really talking about, you know, at least publicly, as much, would be the grid storage. You know, we've seen a little bit about the Tesla Powerwall, but the people that are within the lithium industry, they think that's actually going to be even bigger than electric cars. So that's kind of the elephant in the room that not a lot of the people are talking about.
Yeah, personal energy storage. I live here in Florida. After the last hurricane, I realized that I needed battery backup for a number of devices in my house because the power went out, and I got a battery backup for my my modem for the, you know, my broadband modem, cable modem. Got one for that. I got one for my computer, and I got one for some various security equipment in the house, because the batteries that come in alarms and such only last for a day, the battery backup. So now I'm ready with all these devices. The one on my modem can probably last for a couple of weeks. So I think when you see these electrical disruptions like Florida, Puerto Rico, Houston, Texas, you're going to see a lot more people buying these battery backups as well, and battery storage devices, the bricks for home. I mean, I think it just makes so much sense that, hey, if the grid goes out, I can still keep part of my life going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. I think the other thing that most people agree on is that green energy is here to stay. You know, Florida, for example, solar power is now the cheapest energy, or as cheap as any other energy, and that's true for most parts of the U.S. But one of the problems you still have with solar power is that the sun doesn't shine at night. So how do you take advantage of all that sunshine during the day? You store it. Same with wind. You know, the wind isn't always blowing. So I think with renewables and needing storage to continue to make them more competitive, that's helpful. But I would also agree with you that if you're able to store that energy and there is an emergency situation such as a hurricane or a heavy storm, that creates a significant advantage for your household.
Yeah. If you have a brick in your garage or your basement, you could basically have the grid go down for several days, maybe even a week, especially if your solar cells are still intact, if you've got solar cells and you're covered, you can pretty much maintain normal life while they figure out how to get the grid back up, which in Florida here, it was decimated. In Puerto Rico, it's now non-existent. In Houston, you know, you just see what can happen from nature. So as far as Bearing Lithium, well, let's talk about you. You've been in this business for 8 years. You were co-founder of Pure Energy Minerals, and you kind of got a feel for this far, far superior to most of your peers, don't you?
I think there's a lot of smart people in mining, but there's not a lot of people in lithium. There hasn't been. It's not a, you know, it's only a worldwide, it's probably only a $2 billion market. That's obviously increasing. So it's a smaller industry as opposed to a gold or silver. There's significantly less competition, I guess, to be fair, but I would consider myself somewhat of a lithium expert. I've been doing it for 8 years. And the last project that we did in lithium, which was Pure Energy Minerals, I co-founded it. We raised $16 million, and we did a deal with Tesla, and we discovered a resource in Nevada next to the only producing mine in North America that's now has been turned over to a development team, and they're hoping to build it. So I would say that compared to a lot of my peers, that I do know a lot about lithium in comparison to them.
And the prices of lithium have gone up dramatically over the past couple of years. I mean, we're like $15,000 a ton was the last price I saw. Although it varies because there's a spot price and a contract price, all that.
Yeah, it does vary because it is all contract. So you really only have access to things periodically as far as information. And it depends on who you're getting the information from. They could be paying a higher price. If you're a big offtake company like a BYD or a Ford, someone that consumes a lot of lithium, you're going to get a better price. But SQM, which is one of the major global producers, last quarter had a $14,000 per ton selling price. You know, just 2 years ago, that was $4,000 a ton. And there was reports last year that if you wanted a small amount of lithium, that it was as high as $30,000 a ton in China. So there is a significant supply shortage, and we've seen the demand increase, and that's driven prices up dramatically.
Yeah, and that kind of fits in with the Bearing strategy, right?
Yeah, I think that during any sort of cycle, you always have a situation where you have the lead up, and then the demand, and then you have where the curve kind of flattens out. And I think the key for our project is that we're near term production. You know, we're one of the more advanced projects. Our projects have $30 million invested into us. It's the highest grade undeveloped lithium brine project in the entire world. So we have competitive advantages over any of our peers, and we're being significantly more advanced, we should be much closer to production or an offtake agreement or a sale or whatever it is that happens with the project than most of the other companies.
And your team that backs you up here, obviously, you know, experienced mining people, mining engineers, geologists, etc.
very experienced team. You have myself, the company that we acquired came with management. Luis, he's been in lithium for longer than I have, 12 years. He was the president CEO of a lithium company. Patrick Hoosman was the chairman of that company. We just added Don Haynes today, who wrote the rules and regulations for the Canadian exchange for lithium brine projects. So he's one of the leaders. Prince Rydell is a qualified geohydrologist. And we are processing gentleman Peter Aaron. He actually has been highly successful in working with a number of producers. So we're very confident that we have a world-renowned lithium team.
Hey, so when you think we're looking back 10, 20 years from now, where virtually all the new cars being sold are electric and gasoline, diesel-powered internal combustion engines are being phased out, what do you think you're going to think when you look back to this period in time when you got Bearing started?
I think for me, we're in a fundamental paradigm shift, just like we were in the early 1900s with the creation of the combustion engine. Do I think that the combustion engine is going to disappear forever? No, I don't think that's realistic. But you don't need to add on a percentage basis very many electric cars to continue to see the demand for lithium, skyrocket. But to step back and take a look at your question, I think what we're going to look back and say is that this was a fundamental paradigm shift for society and for us as a human race, as far as, how we're connected from a power and grid standpoint, how we're connected from transportation and cell phones. I mean, the ability to communicate is in our hands 24/7 nowadays. So I just think that we're going to look at this as a fundamental paradigm shift of our generation.
The way that we treat our cars, like right now, your car sits 95% of the day, unless you're an Uber driver, sits in a garage, sits at the curb. It's unused. And now we're looking at these car companies actually maintaining ownership of the car, and you pay per use, right? You're actually going to pay per use. At least that's the emerging model. And it's going to just change the whole way that we live and interact in society.
Well, there's no doubt, if you look at the demographics, if you look at the statistics, that population is moving less of an urban sprawl to more concentrated, right? People are moving closer and closer to the city. We're using more public transit. We're living in smaller spaces. And, as you just said, there's the car sharing. I know, here where I live, there's three different companies that are taking advantage of that. And most of those cars are electric. So I do agree that with the way society's moving and with the fact that the population is moving, as I say, closer and closer to the larger centers, that just further cements what you just mentioned, which is that the majority of people's cars, they sit there 95% of the time or 90% of the time.
Yeah, a real wasting asset. Unless you just like to collect cars, they're just costing you money. When you think about how much an automobile costs you per year, insurance, operating costs, maintenance, and not to mention time. Half the time you're in your car, you're looking for a parking space, especially in an urban area, right? So all of that's going to change.
I agree. And I think what you could also see is that you'll see a lot of two-car households still have one combustion engine and one electric. So, for short trips to the grocery store, for going to and from work, those types of trips, the electric car will work great. If you need to drive to your, if you have a cabin, on the ski hill or a lake cabin, and that's 6-7 hours away, then I think you'll still probably require the combustion engine. Although they are, for example, in Canada, building a electric highway across the entire country. So that's also changing. But I think, if you look at the two-car household, it makes a lot of sense for people.
Yeah, and you see, there was an electric bus. I don't remember what city it was in, but that bus will get 1,100 miles on a charge, which is, unheard of. So I think we're going to see these bigger battery capacities. You'll be able to get maybe halfway across the United States on a single charge.
Oh, I agree. And I think the country you're mentioning is China, because all of their buses are going electric.
Yeah. Well, pollution-wise and efficiency-wise, comfort of ride, so many other things. And one thing you notice when you go into an electric car is, the lack of vibrations from the engine and the drivetrain. So definitely really interesting times ahead. So speaking of going to your cabin or what you do in your downtime, you're pretty motivated in both your corporate life and your personal life, aren't you?
Yeah, I do definitely like to work hard and play hard. I'm love to play competitive sports and get and be active as much as I can outside of work. It's something that really drives me and that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's something that we see a lot with executives in the resource sector is they're highly competitive on the field and off the field. A lot of you playing sports and doing other strenuous activities. So, hey, it sounds like really interesting times here, really fun and just change accelerating before your very eyes. So, look, if you want to find out more about Behring Lithium, just go to BehringLithium.com, B-E-A-R-I-N-G, lithium.com. The symbol again on the TSX venture is BRZ. And Jeremy, thanks so much for stopping by and best of luck to you.
Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.